Audio Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for February 2007. This is issue number 263, and I'm Fred Vobey, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. My address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Telephone number, area 360-382-1957. The cost of subscription to the DX Audio Service is $28 for U.S. and Canadian members. For elsewhere, it's $40. Tapes are sent by first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. You can also sign up to edxn.com and get your DX Audio Service on your computer or iPod player in stereo. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to http://www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with our PayPal credit card system, or contact Wayne Heinen at Post Office Box 473251, Aurora, Colorado 80047-3251 if you want to pay by check. Well, hold on. Here comes a massive AM switch. So here's Captain Bill Hale.
Thanks, Fred, and welcome everyone to the AM switch for February 2007. We've got a lot of catching up to do since we weren't here last month. So let's get going now with call letter changes. On 640, the old WJNA in Royal Palm Beach, Florida has changed to WMEN. On 680, WWTQ Memphis, Tennessee is now WSMB. Also on 680, in Charleston, West Virginia, WCAW has changed to WKAZ. 690, WJOX in Birmingham, Alabama, they've taken the new call of WSPZ. 700, WGZS in Dothan, Alabama, they've changed to WEEL. On 810, WCKS, Jacksonville, Alabama, has made the change to WCKA. 1110, WBCA, Bay Minette, Alabama, has taken the call of WTOF. 1130, WJGY, Murray, Kentucky, has changed to WOFC. On 1170, WJJZ, Bridgewater, New Jersey, after 5 weeks as WJZZ, they've changed to WWTR. 1220 KCCS Salem, Oregon, their new call is KBDY. On 1230 WITH Baltimore, Maryland has supposedly changed to WRBS. A legal WRBS ID was reported heard, but WITH is still listed in the FCC's database as of our deadline, so don't make that change yet. Just maybe pencil that one in. And also on 1230, WTPG, Columbus, Ohio, their new call, WYTS. On 1300, WTMM, Rensselaer, New York, their new call, WEEV. 1330, WOLD, Marion, Virginia, has made the change to WHGB. On 1370, WRWD, Ellenville, New York, their new call, WELG. On 1460, KABL in Salinas, California, has made the change to KION. 1460, WBZB, Brockton, Massachusetts, they've made a change to WXBR after 3 weeks as WBZB. 1490, WAJF, Decatur, Alabama, their new call, WDPT. Also on 1490, this new station in Cameron, South Carolina, their call letters are WTQS, and the CP is for 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. 1510 KYOL, Littleton, Colorado, their new call, KCKK. 1510 KVCI, Canton, Texas, has taken the call of KRDH. Also on 1510 WSQD in San German, Puerto Rico, their new call, WBSG. And finally, 1600 KCKK in Lakewood, Colorado, their new call, KEPN. So it looks like a change to ESPN for them. On 1600, KCKK Lakewood, Colorado has made the change to KEPN, so it looks like a change to ESPN Sports for them. And finally, we could play an anagram game with this one. WRJE 1600, Dover, Delaware. Just turned a couple of letters around for WJRE. Next up is construction permits, which have made it on the air during the past couple of months. 540 WDAK Columbus, Georgia, their CP for 4,000 watts during the day, 38 watts at night, non-directional, is now on. 630 WAVU Albertville, Alabama, their CP for 1,000 watts daytime, 28 watts at night, is on the air. We note that the application requested 40 watts at night, but the approval states 28. 690 WOKV Jacksonville, Alabama, their CP to increase the night power to become U4, 50,000 watts during the day, 25,000 watts at night, is now on. 710 WEGG Rose Hill, North Carolina, their CP for D1, 2,500 watts during the day only, is now on. 760 KCCV Overland Park, Kansas, their construction permit for U4, 6,000 watts daytime, 200 watts at night, is now on the air. 870 KRLA Glendale, California, online reports indicate their construction permit for U4, 50,000 watts during the day, 3,000 watts at night, increasing the day power, is now on. However, the FCC records do not indicate this at our deadline, so stay tuned. 910 WBZU Scranton, Pennsylvania, their CP to move to the transmitter site of WEJL 630 has been reported on the air. WEJL's tower is about 30 feet taller than that of the XWBZU antenna, thus a power reduction to U1, 900 daytime watts, 440 watts at night, is necessitated. 980 WTIX Winston-Salem, North Carolina, their CP to add night operation as U1, 1,000 watts during the day, 69 watts at night, is on. 1050 WBRG Lynchburg, Virginia, the CP to increase their daytime power as 4,000 watts during the day, 98 watts at night, all non-directional, is now on. 1130 WOFC Murray, Kentucky, their construction permit to drop night and critical hours operation is now licensed. WOFC is now D1, 1,500 watts, daytime only. And also on 1130, KBMR Bismarck, North Dakota, their CP to add nighttime service as U1, 10,000 daytime watts, 24 watts at night, is on the air. 1230 WJOI, Norfolk, Virginia, their CP to become U1, 627 watts day and night, non-directional, is now operational. 1290 WTMI West Hartford, Connecticut, their CP for U1, 490 daytime watts, 11 watts at night, adding that nighttime service, is on the air. 1350 WNNG Warner Robins, Georgia, their construction permit for U2, 15,000 watts daytime, 500 watts at night, is now on. 1360 WHBG Harrisonburg, Kentucky, their CP for U1, 5,000 watts during the day, 9 watts at night, diplexing into one of WSVA 550 towers, is on the air. 1370 KGEN Tulare, California, their construction permit for 710 watts during the day, 72 watts at night, non-directional, is now on. 1410 KWYO Sheridan, Wyoming, their CP for U1, 5,000 watts during the day, 350 watts at night from a new taller tower, is now on. 1440 WGLD Red Lion, Pennsylvania, they've been testing daytime using a long wire antenna. Dave Schmidt reports the signal at his location is pretty bad at 7 miles, but as long as it gets them back on the air before the license or STA silent authority runs out, I guess that's okay. 1450 WNBY Newberry, Michigan, they're back on the air at full power from a new 165-foot tower. Their old tower collapsed, and WNBY had been operating under an STA, but now with the new tower operational, they're back to a kilowatt day and night, non-directional. 1480 WCIN Cincinnati, Ohio, their construction permit for U4, 5,000 watts during the day, 300 watts at night, is on the air from a new four-tower site. They use three towers during the day and four at night. 1490 WIRB Level Plains, Alabama. That news station is on the air with 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional from a 75-foot tower. 1530 KVDW England, Arkansas. Their CP for D1, 2,500 watts, daytime only, of course, 270 watts during critical hours is now on. 1550 WKTF Vienna, Virginia. Their construction permit for U1, 10,000 daytime watts, 23 watts at night, is now on. 1580 WLIM, Patchogue, New York. Their construction permit for U8, 10,000 watts during the day, 500 watts at night, and 5,000 watts during critical hours is on. U8 equals non-directional antenna during the day, and two different patterns during CH and nighttime hours. 1590 WZUM, Carnegie, Pennsylvania. Their CP for 1,000 watts during the day, 24 watts at night, is on the air. And finally, 1600 KMDO, Fort Scott, Kansas. Their CP for U1, 770 daytime watts, 35 watts at night from a new tower site is on. They moved the lower 160 feet of their old 317-foot tower to the new site, and it's now the radiating element. We'll get to grants for new stations after I put the cat out. Well, that task is taken care of, so let's get on to look at four new stations which have been authorized. 750, Hampton, Maine. That's Hampden, Maine. A CP has been granted for U2, 50,000 watts during the day, 10,000 watts at night from four towers. A new station in Arroyo Grande, California has been authorized on 1060. They'll have 10,000 watts during the day, 1,200 watts at night, two patterns, six towers, using all six day and night. 1400, a new station in Tonopah, Nevada has been authorized. They'll have 1,000 watts during the day, 880 watts at night, non-directional. And on 1450, Battle Mountain, Nevada, they've been granted U1, 250 watts, day and night. There's been lots of station action since we've last met, so let's get on with that. CHLN in Trois-Rivières, Quebec, the CRTC has approved their application to move to 106.9 MHz with 2,900 watts ERP. 590 CKRS in Saguenay, Quebec. The CRTC has approved their application to move to 98.3 MHz with 51,000 watts ERP. All this time we've been logging CKRS as being from Jean Cayer, but the CRTC lists the official city of license as Saguenay. 630 CHLT Sherbrooke, Quebec. The CRTC has approved their application to move to 102.1 MHz with 58,000 watts ERP. 800 KBRV Soda Springs, Idaho. After being granted night authorization, KBRV has now been granted their request to move to 800 from 790 with 50,000 watts daytime, 29 watts at night, non-directional. 860 KTRB San Francisco. A CP is granted to relocate their three-tower daytime array to a new location while retaining the currently licensed four-tower night site to broadcast their U4 50,000-watt day and night signal. 860 WFMO Conway, North Carolina. The CP granted their change of city of license from Fairmont and increased their power to become U4 50,000 watts during the day, 740 watts at night. They'll be building four new towers using all four of them day and night. On 890, KQLX Lisbon, North Dakota has been granted a CP to relocate their transmitter site to a new 280-foot tower. This will move them about 25 miles closer to Fargo, and they'll remain D1, 1,800 watts, daytime only. On 900, WFIA Louisville, Kentucky has been granted a CP for U1, 930 watts, daytime, 162 watts at night. 940 KICE Bend, Oregon. A CP has been granted to increase the nighttime power to become U1, 10,000 watts during the day and 95 watts at night. 990 WLEE East Highland Park, Virginia. CP has been granted to change their city of license from Richmond and erect four new towers using all four day and night. They'll be upgrading to U4, 4,000 watts during the day and 2,000 watts at night. This site is the transmitter site of co-owned WREJ 1540. They proposed a diplex into the two WREJ 1540 towers and add a couple of more, making the WLEE array a total of 4 towers. 1050 WJOY, Kaukauna, Wisconsin, a CP has been granted to increase their power levels to become U4, 5,000 daytime watts, 1,000 watts at night. They'll add 2 towers to their current 3. The new day pattern is directed northeast, while the night pattern primarily heads northeast with a small odd-shaped lobe to the southwest. 1070 CBA, Moncton, New Brunswick. The CRTC has approved CBA's application to move to 106.1 MHz with 69,500 watts. Look for CBA to terminate broadcasting on the AM band on or about 31 August 2007, as that's when their current license expires. 1080 WOKT, Cannonsburg, Kentucky. The CP has been granted to move here from 1040 and increase their power to become D1, 1,800 watts, daytime only, non-directional. 1110 KEOR, Atoka, Oklahoma, licensed for D3, 5,000 watts, daytime only. KEOR had a CP to move to 1120 with D3, 2,000 watts, daytime only, and CH, 2,000 watts, along with a change in city of license to Catoosa, Oklahoma. They applied for and now have received the deletion of the critical hours designation, so the new CP is D3, 2,000 watts, daytime only, on 1120 at Catoosa. 1150 CJRC, Gatineau, Quebec. Once again, we have been logging this guy as Ottawa, but the CRTC says Gatineau. The CRTC has approved their application to move to 104.7 MHz with 60,000 watts ERP. 1220 WOTS, Kissimmee, Florida. CP has been granted for a U4, 2,500 watts during the day, 200 watts at night, altering their nighttime pattern to eliminate possible nighttime interference to XEB. 1230 WJOI, Norfolk, Virginia. A CP has been granted to decrease their power to become U1, 627 watts day and night, non-directional. On 1250 KZDC, San Antonio, Texas, a CP has been granted to increase their day and night power levels to become U4, 25,000 watts during the day, 2,000 watts at night, from 2 new 4-tower arrays. 1330 KTNL, this new station in Juneau, Alaska, is not yet on the air. They had a CP for U2, 10,000 watts during the day, 3,500 watts at night. They filed for and now have been granted 10,000 watts during the day, 3,100 watts at night, but non-directional. 1370 WGHC, Clayton, Georgia. CP has been granted to reduce their night power to become D1, 250 watts. 1400 KHCB, League City, Texas. CP has been granted to change their city of license from Galveston. They'll be erecting 2 new towers and become U4, 1,000 watts, day and night. 1450 CFAB, Windsor, Nova Scotia. The CRTC has approved their application to move to the FM band, but denies the proposed facilities of 92.9 MHz with 47,100 watts ERP. CFAB has until 27 February to propose acceptable alternative parameters. 1460 WBJX, Racine, Wisconsin. A CP has been granted for a U1, 390 watts during the day, 34 watts at night from a new transmitter location using a Kinstar top-loaded antenna. 1500 WDPC, Dallas, Georgia. A CP has been granted for D4, 5,000 watts during the day, 3,200 watts during critical hours, increasing the CH power only. 1530 KZNX, Creedmoor, Texas. CP has been granted for U7, 10,000 watts during the day, 220 watts at night, and 1,000 watts during critical hours, operating from 2 transmitter sites. On 1540 KMPC, Los Angeles, California, a CP has been granted to increase their nighttime power to become U4, 50,000 watts during the day, and 44,000 watts at night. And 1560 KVAN, Burbank, Washington. This new station, not yet on the air, had a CP for U4, 50,000 watts during the day, 1,600 watts at night, but that has mysteriously disappeared from the FCC's database and was replaced by a CP for 10,000 watts during the day, 1,600 watts at night, U4. Now, it seems, they applied for and have been granted 10,000 watts during the day, 700 watts at night, U4. Licenses relinquished, 900 CKTS Sherbrooke, Quebec. CKTS stopped broadcasting Montreal radio station CJAD on Sunday, November 19th. The CRTC was notified of the decision to relinquish the license. CKTS first began broadcasting CJAD in 1992. Reading from a statement given by the owner, Standard Radio, the CKTS antenna needs major work and expenses for annual upkeep are significant. Given Standard Radio's decision not to cover these costs, we have no choice but to relinquish the license to the CRTC. Well, now that means that the frequency is available in the Sherbrooke market. We have a couple of applications dismissed to report. 1050 CJNB, North Battleford, Saskatchewan. The CRTC has denied the application of CJNB to move to 102.9. And on 1490 CFWB, Campbell River, BC, the CRTC has denied their application to move to 106.1. Some other stuff from here and there. 630 CKOV, Kelowna, BC, applies to move to 103.1 with 35,000 watts. CFCY 630, Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, their simulcast time with the new FM has expired. CFCY is now silent. 880 CKKC, Nelson, British Columbia, their simulcast time with the new FM has expired. We assume they're now silent. 1210 CKWA, Slave Lake, Alberta, their simulcast time with their new FM has expired and CKWA is now silent. 1520 WHOW, Clinton, Illinois, their 400-foot tower, which also housed the antenna for WHOW-FM, collapsed on December 1st as a result of a severe ice storm which hit central Illinois. News Radio 1520 returned with reduced power on December 5th using a secondary tower. The FM returned December 8th after a temporary tower was erected. 1610 CHTO Toronto, Ontario, due to interference problems, which was a mystery tone widely heard in the East and Upper Midwest, CHTO went silent on November 30th. They have applied to the CRTC to move the 1 kilowatt transmitter southeast to a location near the Toronto Harbor. Please note that we have received news on this station and the calls were noted as CHHA, so we're not sure which is correct, but they are reporting CHTO. Well, here and there this month, reported silence, KHNR 870, Honolulu, WXLW 950, Indianapolis, Indiana, WGVM 1260, Greenville, Mississippi, WYJK 1340, Connellsville, Pennsylvania, and WBTO 1600, Linton, Indiana. Also, WMBH 1560, Joplin, Missouri, has been off since late November, which is not storm-related, and it's not sure when they'll be returning. Back on the air, WPMH 670, Claremont, Virginia, WBSL 1190, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, per DX reports all along the Gulf Coast, WGJK 1360, Rome, Georgia, is back on the air with adult standards. WFHK 1430, Pell City, Alabama, was reported as heard. This station was deleted in October of 2006, and there's no indication on the FCC's website that any action has been taken to return that station to active status. Dave Schmidt reports that WGLD 1440, Red Lion, Pennsylvania, has returned to the airwaves, simulcasting WSOX 96.1 with Oldies. Apparently, they're operating days with their night power, as it's just about gone at only 5 miles away. Dave adds that it's his closest station, and he cannot hear it at his QTH. Finally, WMBH 1560, Joplin, Missouri, they're back on with urban contemporary music. Some fines to report. The owner of the now-deleted KTRY 730 and KTRY FM 94.3 in Bastrop, Louisiana, has been fined $13,000 for not registering the tower which these stations formerly used, along with not keeping up proper maintenance, including lighting and painting. You just can't abandon these structures, you know. WEKC 710 Williamsburg, Kentucky has been hit with a $5,000 fine for several issues, including their emergency activation equipment, the public file, and failure to register their tower. The FCC has levied a $1,500 fine to KRRP 950 Coushatta, Louisiana, for failure to file a timely renewal application. WWGC 1090 Albertville, Alabama has been fined $1,500 for failure to file for renewal in a timely manner. Also, WBCE 1200 Wickliffe, Kentucky was fined $7,000 for failure to file for renewal in a timely manner. A $4,000 fine has been levied on WMOR 1330 Moorhead, Kentucky for station operating from an unauthorized location. There's a new one. A fine in the amount of $14,000 has been assessed against WTNL 1390 Reidsville, Georgia for failure to file a timely renewal application and subsequent unauthorized operation. $1,500 is the fine to WTKI 1450 Huntsville, Alabama for failure to file a timely renewal application. And KWRD 1470 Henderson, Texas has been fined $8,000 for failure to ensure the operational readiness of station KWRD's emergency alert system. It seems KWRD is brokered, and it seems the broker doesn't have a clue about most of the operational responsibilities of running a radio station. Here's an item which should be of particular interest to all those living in the western part of the North American continent and points west. Clear Channel Communications, owners of KFI's tower in La Mirada, California, that was knocked down in a 2004 airplane crash, got tentative approval to rebuild the tower despite protests from pilots at Fullerton Municipal Airport. The 760-foot behemoth is 2 miles from the airport. A pilot died when his small plane crashed into the tower on January 28, 1978, and another pilot, along with his wife, died on September 19, 2004, when their small plane crashed into the tower, knocking it down. In light of the two crashes, Fullerton City officials have called the tower a lethal menace to pilots using the airport. But in the first public airing on the proposed reconstruction, the La Mirada Planning Commission voted 3-0 to approve Clear Channel's plans to rebuild the tower to a new height of 684 feet. The La Mirada City Council must approve the plan before construction can begin, and lawsuits could further delay the project. If La Mirada allows the tower to be rebuilt, Clear Channel has offered the city more than $3.1 million over 20 years, including $1.4 million for a city swimming pool and $100,000 to expand the L.A. County Sheriff Substation, officials have said. The Federal Aviation Administration does not consider anything under 500 feet to be an obstacle to aircraft, and airport officials would not object to a tower under 500 feet, an official said. Tower is located just north of the Santa Ana Freeway and 2 miles northwest of the airport's runway. Since the 2004 crash, a much smaller standby tower has been used at the site. During a meeting with the Fullerton officials in September, the company indicated that there is no other site in the region that can accommodate the tower and that it needs 684 feet in order to continue its role as primary notifier of information in the event of a national disaster. Well, that's it for this issue. My thanks go to David Alpert, Sean Axelrod, Mike Brooker, Perry Crable, Bill Dvorak, Patrick Griffith, Dale Hamm, Wayne Heinen, and Dean McIntyre for bits and tidbits contained herein. It's time now for what we've all been waiting for, another visit from Brother John Bowker, who's moving to center stage to present this month's travelogue.
National Radio Club!
Well, thanks once again, Bill Hale. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the travelogue. Today, we're going to be starting the 980 kilohertz frequency, and this is kind of loaded. We've got 49 U.S. stations on the air at 980, and 4 or 5 in Canada. Of course, you can't keep up with the Canadian stations these days on the AM dial. They're dropping like flies, so we'll see how we wind up with them later on. But if you have 49 stations on the air, it means that we also have station breaks from long time ago, so we have more than 49 IDs for the 980 travelogue. Well, this is a regional channel as determined by the 1941 NARBA agreement that we're generally familiar with. That means that up until just a handful of years ago, The maximum power allowed on this frequency was 5,000 watts. Well, that's not true anymore, and as we go through the stations, we'll comment one by one if any of them are of remarkable power, either high or low. Now, what do you say we get started with the travelogue right now as we swing our antennas up to the great northeast? In fact, we have so many IDs from this very first station. Oh, goodness. Let's see. Mark Strickert brought us some way back in the middle 1980s. Bob Rathbun lives in that area. He has sent in at least two of the CAP IDs. Bruce Conti is right there, too. Linda and I go up through that way because we have relatives living in nearby New Hampshire. So we have all kinds of IDs. Let's see what we start with here as we begin the February 2007 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
It's 65 degrees at WCAP. Talk Radio 980, WCAP, Lowell. It's 3 o'clock. Alaska's Governor Walter Hickel says he weighed the concerns of the police against those of citizens who want to protect themselves from criminals, and Hickel sided with the citizens.
That first ID from Lowell was recorded in 1995, and the second one, the jingle, was 12 years earlier, 1983, it says here. Well, we're going to move down to the Long Island Sound now, staying in New England, but this will be the southern shores of Connecticut, to the submarine base where we have a 1,000-watt station in Groton.
We'll talk to the Giants' Rich Aurelia and the Rockies' Todd Helton. You can email us, DanPatrickShow at ESPN.com.
980 The Ticket wants you to win a Chrysler PT Cruiser.
Keep listening for details on 980 The Ticket.
WSUV, Groton, New London.
A Citadel communication station.
This is SportsCenter.
I'm Dan Davis. Baseball tonight in Houston, Game 2.
Now that ID came from 2001, not all that long ago. But during March of 1972, my wife and I were visiting up in southern Connecticut and made this recording.
Have a happy day. Just a chance to say, have a happy day.
This is WSUB, Happy Day Radio in Groton. The time is 1:30, time for news in brief.
Well, okay, it's time to cross the Hudson River once again and get into the Empire State. But we don't go into New York very far, I can tell you, before we come to the Tri-Cities. And this is one of the stations in the Tri-City area.
Hi there, 4 o'clock, and it's a great pair of 98s. AM 98 WTRY Troy, FM 98.3 WTRY FM Rotterdam. We're the Capital Region's only 9 in a row oldies station with Imus in the morning and great oldies all day on Oldies 98.
WTRY. That's from 1994, and if we go back in time a long ways, back into the late 70s, we're going to hear something else from WTRY. It's been around forever, I swear.
Marty, Brandon, Marcic, Hitch, WTRY, Troy, Albany, Connecticut.
Those are the three cities of the Tri-City area, Troy, Albany, and Schenectady. And to bring the record a little more up to date, Linda and I were up there once again in 2004.
The next several days are critical.
Clear Channel Cares, Clear Channel Radio of Albany.
WOFX Troy.
This is the Capital Region's new home for the New York Jets. Fox Sports Radio, AM 980, a Clear Channel station.
The Sports Report starts right now.
Monday morning.
Now, I'm sure at the beginning of the travelogue, you heard me mention that we have 49 stations on this one channel, but we probably have more IDs than that. Well, here's a couple of examples as to why that may very well be true. Here's a station, all I kept was the ID. Remember back in those days, all we wanted to do was prove we had it so we could write away for a verification. see if you agree that this is enough for a verification from this station.
WESA, AM and FM, Charteroy, Manassas, 98 ESA.
Because that's all we kept. I hope that's enough from Charleroi, WESA, clear as a bell, right? The only thing is, that station failed years ago. It's all gone. And speaking of stations going off the air and not continuing on very long, how about this one at 980 on the dial?
This is WVCD Hazleton, the beautiful 98.
And so indeed, and without question, we had plenty for both of those stations as a positive ID. But the one remaining station, let's go up to Wilkes-Barre in Pennsylvania back in 2004 and see what they've got for us there.
Less affluent, stressed.
Yeah.
Now we're off the top of the hour, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. We're going to go into news next with Phil Cummings and then the Sue Henry Show here on WILK. Have a great day. It is 9 o'clock. We have the news next.
This is Northeast PA's official station for news
and continuous updates on the war on terror.
WILK Wilkes-Barre, WGBI Scranton, WOGY West Hazleton, United States of America.
It's 9:02. I'm Phil Cummings with a WILK news update.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that he included the word Hazleton. All right, West Hazleton in the ID. So that's one of the two stations that went off the air. At least he's got them covered with some kind of radio programming down that way. I think Charleroi, we may have lost them forever. Now, so far, all the stations that we have had on the travelogue today have had a power of 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 watts. But we're coming to a station that, quite honestly, I once held the license on this next station. Its call letters back in those days were WRC, and they've changed a couple of times since then. But regardless of all that, ladies and gentlemen, with your kind permission, I take you now to our nation's capital.
This is your station for exclusive coverage of the 2004 Olympic Games. Sports Talk 980, WTEM, Washington.
This is exclusive coverage of the Summer Olympics from Westwood One, brought to you by Dell and the National Association of Realtors. Quite a performance taking place at the track stadium right now.
That's the way 980 sounded in Washington in 2004. And if you go back 22 years to 1985, this is what you heard.
The talk continues on AM 980 with the Gil Gross Show coming up right after CNN News. This is WWRC Washington. CNN Radio News. I'm Pam Dalzell.
And as we leave our nation's capital and continue our travels across this wonderful nation, we come next to Virginia. And right down about 10 miles north of the North Carolina border, we come to Chase City.
Transcribed, WMEK, Chase City, Virginia, your ABC voice, serving South Central Virginia and Northern North Carolina from studios in downtown Chase City.
Now, one of the interesting things about the Chase City station at 980 is that that's the first of the daytimers that we've come to today, and it only runs 500 watts during the daytime hours, so you can see it got squeezed in somewhere. It's located between the Winston-Salem station and the one in Washington, so anyway, that's our first daytimer. Now, before we leave Virginia, though, let's go way down to the southwestern toe, right on the Tennessee border.
An enjoyable morning. We'll talk to you Monday morning beginning at 10:06. The news is next at 12.
Super Talk, WFHG AM Bristol, WFHG FM Abingdon, Bristol.
From ABC News, I'm Karen Chase. It could be a called strike for Major League Baseball players.
And indeed it did. It closed down the baseball for the rest of the season, if you remember. That goes back 4 or 5 years. Okay, we're going to move down into North Carolina, and in the west central part of the state, we have, again, a tri-city area, with Winston-Salem as one of the cities in that group. And the 980 station in Winston-Salem is another of the daytime-onlys. And you wonder, a city the size of Winston-Salem, how well a daytime-only station's going to work out. It may explain, too, why we have such a lousy ID from them.
98 AAA WAAA Winston-Salem.
But wait, you cry. There's nothing wrong with that station break, and you're absolutely right. It's perfect. It's beautiful. But it's all we've got. I have four recordings of WAAA over about a 12 or 14-year period, and they're all limited only to the station break. Very disappointing to me, let me tell you. However, we haven't finished with North Carolina yet. If we go down to the southeast corner, right next to the city of Wilmington, North Carolina, where a lot of hurricanes come in, we find the community of Leland.
Stay tuned for NBC News. It's coming up next, followed by another hour with Jeffrey and Jennings. Right here on the way, WAAV Leland, Wilmington.
NBC Radio News. The trade crisis with Japan is over.
Well, I think General Motors will be delighted to hear the news. Of course, that recording is just 10 years old, and something sure went wrong in the last 10 years if our trade deficit with Japan is over. Well, let's see. You know, that's probably a good place to leave things for this month. Oh, and very special thanks to both Josh Owens and Dale Hamm for some of the IDs you heard on today's program. So, we're going to pick up in South Carolina, and we'll go down through Georgia and Florida and head out to the West on our next installment with you in March. We'll look forward to it.
And now here is a story from the New York Times by Holly Tremella called Now Here Is the News in Special English, a language to air news of America to the world. Washington, July 29th. Voice of America, the government-sponsored news organization that has been on the air since 1942, broadcasts in 44 different languages, 45 if you count Special English. Special English was developed nearly 50 years ago as a radio experiment to spread American news and cultural information to people outside the United States who have no knowledge of English or whose knowledge is limited. Using a 1,500-word vocabulary and short, simple phrases without the idioms and clichés of colloquial English, broadcasters speak at about two-thirds the speed of conversational English. But far from sounding like a record played at the wrong speed, special English is a complicated skill that takes months of training with a professional voice coach who teaches how to breathe properly and enunciate clearly. Mario Ritter, a special English writer and producer, arrived at Voice of America 5 years ago with many years of experience. Mr. Ritter has been training for 6 months to be a special English broadcaster. It's kind of ironic that I normally speak slowly, but it doesn't give me a leg up in being a special English broadcaster, Mr. Ritter said. Shelley Golest is chief of special English at the Voice of America. She says people in this country have likely never heard of special English, and if they have, they often don't understand the significance of it to people in other countries. They hear it and they make fun of how slow it is. A 1948 law prohibits Voice of America from broadcasting in the United States, but audio and text files of Special English are found on the Voice of America website. That's www.voanews.com/Special English, all one word. Students and teachers in other countries say Special English is a good learning tool for them. I like the fact that the program is based on 1,500 words, Sarah Paulsworth said in an email message from Azerbaijan, where she works as a journalist and a volunteer English teacher. It's a very tangible goal for students. I can literally see some of my students counting the words they know. A vocabulary of 1,500 words is adequate for news reporting, but for features and biographies, more words are allowed if they are explained in the context of the sentence. Words can be added or dropped from the vocabulary. Sabotage, for example, a word often used in the World War II era, may be dropped because it is rarely used in news stories today. Jim Huang Jiwen, a 69-year-old mechanical engineer from Hangzhou, China, said he had listened to Special English on the radio for more than 20 years, and more recently on the Internet. He said it had helped him improve his ability to write and understand English. The pronunciation is beautiful, he says. The sentence is sweet and short, and the content is interesting and friendly to our daily life. He particularly likes technical programs. François Reynaud, 56, a teacher at a vocational school in Paris, has found Special English to be useful in his business and economic classes. He says it closes the gap between textbook English and traditional broadcasts, such as BBC or CNN, which he says are too difficult for the average student. A special English editor at Voice of America, Avi Arditi, said, "There's a fine line between simplifying and simplification. It's not so much simplifying, but clarification. Simplifying can seem somewhat demeaning. You're not dumbing it down, but you're making it understandable to your audience, whether they have PhDs or are in middle school." But some listeners, like Ali Oscar Khandan, 36, an assistant professor from Tehran, said special English seems like a special program for advertising American life and culture, not a simple radio station for broadcasting news or teaching English. "We hear this message everywhere," he says, "not even in education reports and culture reports, but in science reports and agriculture reports." The link between learning English and learning about America has been a constant thread in the debate in Congress about revising immigration. But at home, the special English branch at Voice of America would support the use of its programming for recent immigrants in a bilingual model if the law did not prohibit it. If new immigrants could turn on their radios at 8 o'clock and listen to a half hour of special English to listen to the news, it would be very beneficial, Ms. Golist said. Mr. Ritter added, "That would be a great use of a resource that already exists." This is Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service.
At this time, please turn over your tape to side two.
And information on the full-service giant, WNRC AM and FM, Convention City.
It's 4 o'clock.